You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome back to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White, and right now my guest is Steve Richards from Australia. Steve is the founder of Holographic Kinetics and works with Dreamtime Healing. We were just talking on the show. This is going to be a continuation of that show, or it could be a separate one, I don't know. In any case, this is the off-the-air version, and we're going to continue talking about his work and some of the things he's found. And so let's bring Steve into the mix again and welcome him back to the show that we just left. So hi, Steve. How are you?
Great. Glad to be on
here. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. So let's go back to what we were talking about. I don't know where we left off, but we were kind of talking about the conjunction that you and I are aware of, in which there's kind of a harvest. And so this is kind of a special time in which we, it's important to watch our thoughts and deeds and actions. So wherever you want to pick up with what's going on today would be fine with me. And I'd like to get more in-depth to the extra dimensionals and the, you know, extra luminals and the hyperdimensionals. And I want to ask you some questions also about the creator or the source behind all this. So wherever you want to start with this is fine.
Before we get into that area, I'd really like to just go back a moment and go into some of the areas here to give you a bit more insight into some of what we're actually dealing with out there of people that are actually stuck in time as well. Because I think this is important to the degree that, and especially for all the mental health workers out there, you know, we have, here's an example here. I know of cases where there've been electric shock treatment to four-year-old kids for claiming to remember things that don't exist. Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I've got a four-year-old child who wakes up screaming at night. He wakes up in a cold sweat. He's virtually bouncing on the bed sometimes, and the parents sleep with him to try and keep him pacified. So I'm asked if I could assist them. So I go down, I surrogate the little boy into the mother, and I surrogate the spirit through the mother back in time. And he's driving a train in England. It's a one-way track, another train coming the other way. He's panicking, trying to stop the train, his head-on collision. He's killed, his four-year-old son's killed, and a pile of other little kids on the train are killed. When he reached 4 years old, it triggered off the sleeper, and he's trying to stop the train in his sleep. We unfolded time and space, changed the past and present of the future, released it. The little boy's sleeping peacefully at night. Now, a mental health system is saying they're giving electric shock treatment to these kids remembering things they claim don't exist. This is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. We have had hundreds of kids that have trauma, and we're getting results with these kids. And I just think it's an important part to understand that people are stuck in time, regardless of what we're dealing with. If we deal with other dimensions and we deal with interdimensional interference, it alone is linked to a dimension. As I teach my students, don't go looking for the entities. Don't go looking for the big boys. Look for the dimension that occurred that let them in. It is a dimension you need to deal with to unfold and loop and put outside time. Then go after what came into that dimension. Otherwise, I see people out there seeing these things and pulling them off and letting them loose and they're jumping into someone else. You've really got to know what you're doing with this field. Now, the interdimensional stuff that's going on, yes, there's a whole range of things out there. We talked before about how you can take on animal spirits. You can take on human spirits. I mean, and here's an example. Is if you took on a human spirit, in other words, if you're responsible for death of another, even by accident sometimes we've found this has taken place. And this is one of the most interesting ones I had. I got a woman who's had three spinal operations. 40 years later, she finally gets to me. She's still riddled with pain. I go in to look at it. The spirit says 18, access. Next minute, she's screaming hysterically on the table. I forgot. I totally forgot what happened. I'd had on collision in a car when I was 18. Thank you. And what happened? The other woman died. Thank you. Well, my first thing is, do I have what's known as reciprocal exchange of energy? That means if you've destroyed this vehicle of that particular being, they've got a right to your vehicle. And sure enough, I've got the spirit of the woman killed in the accident in her. And when I bring her up, you should have heard her. She was so ropeable because this woman was careless. But her dimension of time became suspended in time and space instantly. And to her, it was as if the accident happened 5 seconds ago.
Huh.
Although it was 40 years ago.
Wow.
And what happened is she died of spinal injuries. The woman today, because that spirit's in her, she has been living the traits of that spirit in her. She's had 3 spinal operations. The moment the spirit will agree to change the future and release it, instantly all the spinal issues disappeared. They weren't hers in the first place. Now, we've had dozens of people over the years that have taken on the traits of something that doesn't belong to them. This is a whole new area we've got to look at. You know, we're seeing things. This is ground floor work. As I said, although I've trained 600-odd students in 30 countries, to me, this is still ground floor work. I mean, I look at it and say, where's it going to go in 50 years? Because we are finding a whole range of other things that have never been looked at before. You know, I had an episode where it really got me thinking. One of my students came to me one day, and as I said, you know, we deal with animal spirits in people. We take on the animal traits. But this one here, he's working on a guy's got an issue. He's 3 years old. He's out at sea. He comes up the ladder and his dad says, get back down there, and knocks him down, and big crab died on the floor. The spirit of the crab entered him. Now, this is the father. So the student went in, took out the spirit of the crab, no problems, changed it. 2 weeks later, he asked to go around to his house and work on his son. The student went around there to work on him. He nearly fell over backwards. He walked in, his son comes out, he's got no toes, he's got fat flippers, no fingers, just nippers. How far does morphing go with the spirit, with whatever else is in there through time that can pass down through the genetics now?
Huh.
You know, these are areas that have never been looked at. And to me, we really need proper research into a lot of areas here, because I believe this is the missing link to so many areas of mental health that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I find the prisons, and we sat on the court case, and we listened to every kid going through the case. I don't know, Your Honour, why I keep doing the same thing over and over. He's stuck in time. I don't know, Your Honour, we have a few beers. It's like something takes over. It does. No one's listening. These are just some of the areas that are taking place that I really believe we need to look at. Abortions. Now, the amount of people who have abortions, what they don't realise is they take a physical being out, but they leave behind at times a little spirit. And sometimes that little spirit can be very annoyed, and it can create problems for the mother all her life until we unfold time and space, reason with the two, and we change the future and release the spirit. And a lot of that trauma can stop. We've got what's known as reciprocal exchange of energy. That means that they, whether it be animal, whether it be human, have a right to your vehicle. Then we have accidental things that have taken place that have allowed things into the vehicle. Huh. Now we come down the line to some of the big boys. Now these big boys here are linked to some of the ritual stuff that's been going on for thousands of years. But not just rituals. We're finding that a lot of the drugs that they take, when they go into an altered state with drugs, they enter into other dimensions. Now, some of the ice, some of the crack, they're leading into some really big dimensions, really big, powerful forces that are coming through. People have to be aware that when they enter the dimension of another, they'll be governed by the laws of that dimension.
Can you give some examples of those dimensions and the powerful beings, the powerful games that are playing?
Well, we've broken it down into the spirit field, animal and human spirit, into the entities created by you or invited in by you. Then we go into your draconians, linked to the rituals, your winged serpents. Here's a hierarchy behind the scene. He gets their draconians who do most of the dirty work. And of course, you've got the reptilians and the aliens, which are another integrated species of many, covering many species also. You know, there's 20-odd species we're aware of, but I hear that there's supposed to be 80-odd species out there. So we've just broken them down. A part, or the other part is or something else. And all the rest are in the category of something else. Anything, one, if you kill an animal or a human without permission, it has a right to your vehicle. That's the spirit that can invade the vehicle. This is why your war trauma, unless someone's over there, understand what they're doing with your soldiers, it's going to keep getting worse. We know what's going on, and we know how to make changes. But I offered, it's funny, I offered, I had one of my students, and they had a soldier suffering from trauma. And I was over there visiting them, and they said, "Look, you work on the soldier." So I said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll do a session, get him in, we'll do it for nothing." And what happened was, he went to the Veterans Association, told them a guy out from Australia was going to do some work on him. And their words were, "There are a lot of charlatans out there. We advise you not to go and have anything done." So he rang me up and he says, "Look, I'm not allowed to have anything done." Now, here was, this was free. We're working on the soldier all the time. We could have cleaned him. But his program is that I've got to listen to the program. If they say I can't do something, I can't do it. How programmed are some of these people that they can't make a decision for themselves? They can assist them themselves. And why is it that some of these associations have the possibility of something that's going to work, but not wanting to have their people cleared? You've got to ask who's running the game. And this gets down to the big boys. And the big boys have been around for thousands of years, and these are mostly the draconian fellas. Mostly the draconians, the winged serpent, these are the hierarchy behind the scene. But they're around through rituals, and through the rituals, you go through the bottom, it's the apprentice level, and it's an apprentice entity enters. The next level up, more powerful one, more powerful each level. And eventually, as you're getting up through the degrees, your 20, 25 degrees, your thoughts and actions aren't yours anymore. You've been manipulated. When you get the higher level, up around the 30, 33 degrees, hello, no one's home. It's a total takeover. And they're totally running your vehicle. You're in the back seat, you've got no say.
And of course, we know that the secret society has been running things, and that Skull and Bones is the secret group that makes presidents. And so, who's running? How does
Draconians.
this relate to the Vatican, for instance? What are the powers that run the beings that are doing those programs and using sacred geometry
Did
and
you go into that site I told you, the Restoration of the Vatican, and have a look what's behind the Pope? Have a look at the 60-foot statue, 28-foot wide, and have a look at it. As it zooms back, have a look at it. It's a human skull with this part on the side of it, and when you get back, it's a massive winged serpent. He is exactly taking his orders from these beings. He is a representative. And that's why religion itself was set up right through time to trap people into the game. Don't ask questions, just obey. Well, my thing is, when you're
You
just
know,
obeying, you're not asking questions, that's slavery. The
there's
other thing I
another.
find is when people belong, people say to me, "I belong." Well, again, to me, belong is about slavery. Belong, you belong to your master. You belong to your, who do you belong to? You're acknowledging belonging to something or someone. Who's the entity you belong to? See, they're words that we don't think of, but they're out there in our society that we're reinforcing on ourselves every day.
I'm having
You know, I've had some of the clients, I've had some clients on my table, and when the big boys come through, look, I've had bodies nearly thrown off the table. We've had to really dive on them, hold on the table. These things, they're kicking and screaming and yelling, and they don't want to leave. But we trap them in our game, understand how to deal with these beings, and we take them out. Sometimes I've had beings sitting up on the table, virtually hissing and spitting at me, and the eyes have gone from round to slits in them, shape-shifting on the table. You know, I had an interesting one when I was in England recently, and this girl, up you come, and brought this thing up, and next minute she's sitting up there, her tongue come out, I couldn't believe this, her tongue come out over 6 inches long. And it was black, purple, moving around like a massive lizard. You should have seen morphing through out of her.
Wow.
I had a woman in from France on my table. And what happened is she, when we went to look at the issue with her, she physically metamorphed. And I mean physical metamorphosis. One moment I've got a 22-year-old woman on the table. Next moment I've got an 87-year-old Chinese grandmother curled up speaking to me in Chinese. I go, spirit, go back in time, cause, effect, invasion is force. Next minute, bang, she's sitting up. I'm a Roman Catholic. Reincarnation doesn't exist. And I just said, well, there's metamorphosis, but you're doing it. Come back in 2 weeks' time, I'll surrogate into one of my students. That way there's no belief systems. Her belief just instantly overrode her spirit. How can her spirit show you what's taking place if you're not prepared to listen? You see, this is it. We've got people out there with assumptions and beliefs. Those assumptions and those beliefs assume it to be, they believe it to be, they set up as a part of their reality. How, if they set this reality up, how can they listen to their own spirit when their own spirit's trying to show them what's taking place? They can't, because they're blocking it, because this is a molecular mortal world and you have the rights to make the molecular mortal decisions in this molecular mortal world. And that's what's happening.
Now, are there, you mentioned in one, I think one of your interviews or one of your videos, that there are such, there is such a thing as clones. A lot of people have talked about this over the years, and it's something that I've been curious about. Is this something that you run across in your work?
Look, I've had some over the years. I've had a few people over the years, and they've got all the traits, and I mean the traits. I mean, the traits will be this little framed body, this little triangular, huge eyes, and one in particular, she was a hybrid, and these beings were around her all the time. And what happens is we brought her through, and it's interesting because a hypnotherapist, he rang me and said, "I've got one of those funny cases for you." It's a beauty. So I shot around and one look at her and straight away I could see exactly what she was. I took her straight into a berth and next minute she's in a tube of liquid, big eyes looking in. And what happened was she went to see him and he found that he wired her up and the theatre doorway was totally shut. So he put her on a super mind to wake up the theatre doorway, and when it opened that part of the mind, she's screaming, big eyes looking in. So I took her into the berth. And she was taken out of the tube of liquid by the tall, skinny one, handed to the little short fella who examined her, handed to a normal-looking woman, and handed to a mother through adoption agency at 6 weeks old. But these beings were around her all the time monitoring her. So we did research for about 6 months. It's interesting because one of the research days we were doing, we had the door open, and the next minute she was thrown into the air, into contortions. She's screaming, "Get off me, get off me, get off me." And at the mate's place, and both looked at each other at the same time. You know, bloody draconians. So what happened is we went in after this thing, and the next minute it physically morphed through her and out of this little woman on the table, got this really deep voice coming out, "You," I won't say the word, swearing at us, "we'll get you for this." "Well, not today, you won't." Out. And he breeds peacocks. They went berserk because they could see into that dimension. That was the first time we started doing some of the big boys. And after that we started, okay, we got rid of one, let's get rid of more, let's find out more about the keys. Look, it's been a procession, it's been a process of 40 years of researching. One of the first times I got a woman on the floor and she's on 11 forms of medication and she's out, totally out. I'm watching her features changing while she's laying there, and this would be a health retreat I was at. And I said to other practitioners, "I wonder if we get these things to talk." So I'm down the floor and I'm bringing them through, and we're actually getting them to shapeshift and talk out of the body. And that was the first time we started dealing with some of these. Then the animal spirits again. At first we weren't fully aware how that was, but through trial and error, we now understand how they work. And then there was, of course, soldiers of war through trial and error. We understand how that works. It's taken 40-odd years to put all this together. In that period of time, as I said, I've been picked up and thrown through the air by invisible forces. I've made some mistakes where I haven't cleared things correctly and they've just jumped into somebody else that was on drugs in the apartment next door because we didn't do it correctly. shown everything must be done correctly. So I teach my students so they don't have to go through the negative things I went through in the past. It's so important that you understand how it works. You know, there's a lot of cowboys, as I call them out there. That's people that think they see something and think, oh, well, if you can do it, I can do it. Well, I'm going to go an episode that happened a long time ago. I had a friend who saw what I could do and thought, if you can do it, I can do it. He went home, tried. 3 days later, he comes home, can't find his wife and daughter. He opened up the cupboard. He found his daughter in the cupboard with throat slit. The mother had killed the daughter, had no idea she'd done it. When she realised what she had done, she committed suicide. That was the first time I saw what these beans can do. They are powerful, they are big, and you've got to know what you're doing. It's something that, and this is why a lot of people say, why don't you put on YouTube what you do? Well, hang on. I'd be responsible for the deaths of lots of people out there if I had cowboys out there trying to do what I'm doing without being learning the correct thing. It's got to be correctly understood.
Yep, absolutely. Now, just out of curiosity, how long does it take you to train somebody in these techniques where they are able to, stand on their own more or less? I mean, how long, what's the process, the schooling
process? Look, the process is 7 days for the tip of the iceberg. That's minimum, 7 days just to get the tip of the iceberg. In that 7 days, we teach you how to clear genetic mother's line and genetic father's line. So if people come with genetic stuff, how to clear it. We teach you how to clear traumas come through time, belong to the spirit. We teach you about animal spirits and human spirits. Then we go and we teach you about entities, thought forms, life forms, and entities, how to deal with those. Then we teach you about the draconians, the gargoyles, the winged serpents, the hierarchy, beings out there. There's a whole range of things we teach. Then my thing is the students meet together for practice to get the confidence in you. We're giving you the keys, we're giving you the tools, but you need that confidence. Some of them go straight out and they're working on their clients straight away. Others, they need that confidence, they stick together, work with it. When I come back, my idea is, look, come back. I have some students that come back every single time and they're learning more every time they do because we're constantly coming up with more advanced, more new, and more modern ways. In the early days, it took me 5 hours a client. Nowadays, I can fly through one area with a person in 20 minutes, I should say. But sometimes I've been in areas where it's taken me 20 seconds to access that fast.
Amazing.
But that's because I've had years. I know what I'm doing. You see, and that's because I work with some Aboriginal communities there. But it takes 7 days minimum. When they come back, then all of a sudden they do it again. All the slots fall into place because they've had practice. Then everything that we're taught, they start to understand another level. The students for teaching, look, got to be a minimum, 3, 4, 5 years. Before I'd even, and I have to know that they know exactly what they're doing to be teaching this. You know, otherwise, you teach somebody something wrong before you know it, it's going to go off on a tangent and you're not going to get what needs to be cleared correctly.
Well, that's kind of what you're saying is going on now, is that, people are doing all kinds of things that they think are beneficial and they have no idea what they're doing on these in these other dimensional realms. So it seems like if you could really see what's going on energetically, it would be probably pretty messy, right?
Remember one thing. You are responsible for your thought, your word, your doing, your action. If you as a practitioner go out there and you work on someone and you open up a door and let something attach itself, you're responsible for that, and there are consequences under the universal laws. Mm. So you've really got to look at the law itself. It's a universal, it's knowledge, but also means that if you enter the game of another or someone enters your game and you do something that is detrimental to them, then there are consequences upon you for what you've just done.
Yes.
You've really got to understand it in its whole essence of what it is. You know, years ago I heard cases where people were saying, oh, the Aborigines were into revenge killing. No, they weren't. They're doing you a favour. People say, what do you mean? Well, if you killed somebody in that community, then all the family of the person you killed would be given a spear. You'd be standing out in the paddock there and they could all chuck a spear at you. If they hit you, they hit you. If they killed you, they killed you. If they didn't, they didn't. It was dealt with now, complete, finished. That's it. Because they knew in 1,000 years' time, through the cycles of time, they would have to unfold back on time for you to experience. But if they dealt with it now, it was dealt with. So virtue's in your favor.
Interesting. Now, you've mentioned some of the darker aspects of the beings that are manipulating and running the game from outside of the game. What about the light aspects? Are you familiar with the forces that are beyond those games?
Well, watch this. Law. He who enters the game of another is subject to the laws of the game. You've got a lot of positive beings out there, and they won't dare come into the game because of law. No. They enter this game, they're subject to laws this game. Why would you want to enter this game?
Right.
They know man must progress at his own pace. You can't interfere. All those that are coming down here have their own agenda. They want your vehicle.
Yep. Absolutely.
And yes, there are monitoring going on off planet. There are beings that are monitoring off planet.
Okay.
But as I said, it'll be a last resort to interfere because that has consequences.
Right.
And even those that do interfere, what they don't realize is that they also have consequences in the future. I mean, if they've stopped and looked at it, you take this. If they take 3,600 Earth years to cycle the sun, it's known as a Shah. But that takes 3,600 Earth years. They genetically engineered men. If that takes 3,600 Earth years, what's it tell you? It tells you that we are progressing 3,600 times faster than they are. Now, if they stop and look at that and they get a little bit of common sense, they'll realize that we are their future. You've just got to look at how this universe and all the cycles work. People don't realize that yesterday you got up, it was another cycle called a day. And tomorrow will be another cycle called a day. And some people got up, went to work, had breakfast before they went to work, got the train, got to work, had morning tea, worked, had lunch, had afternoon tea if they're lucky, come home on the train, watched a bit of TV, got up, Groundhog Day. Next day they're doing the same thing with a few variables. And then we look at every year. There's 365 of those makes a year cycle. Now look at the year cycle. Every year cycle has its seasons with a few variables. And then we go that into the big cycle. There are cycles within cycles within cycles. And the big cycle of the deja vu cycle is lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of cycles of similarity with a few variables. But in the big cycle, if we take in the present to the past and we change in the present to the past, we can loop time up, create new time track for the future cycles of time. See, nothing has to be the way it was. All we have to do is be awake and understand that we have the ability to make changes. My thing is with the public out there, the first thing you've got to do is stop for a moment and realize that they are constantly being trapped in the game of action and reaction. They're constantly acting and reacting. While they're action and reaction, they are swung between the pendulum. They are stuck in time. Come down to point zero. Settle at point zero.
Right.
Observe the world for what it is. You become the observer of the game. As you observe the game, you see all the games around you that have been played, but you don't buy into the games. You stay in your created reality, and you create your reality. You bring people into your reality. You don't enter their reality. Because the moment you enter the reality of another, you're going to be influenced by that reality you enter into.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, that's the way it seems to be working. There's no question about it. And the second you engage in somebody else's game, then you're subject to that game.
That's correct. And who's running the game?
Right.
And it's so subtle.
It is really subtle.
And all it takes is us to make that little shift of awareness of what's really going on. And our whole life can change just from that one split second of awareness. And in doing that, start to acknowledge your spirit. You know, I hear people out there, and they're thanking the gods, the guides, the angels, the masters, the saints, the servants, whatever it is. They're thanking everybody. And all the time it's their poor spirits doing all the work. It's not getting thanked. It's trying to make you aware. The intuition at times, you go to do something, it says, hey, don't go there. But you do it anyway because you want to run the show. So how does your spirit feel? It's going to feel really put down by you. So it's going to sit back and say, you want to run the show, you run the show. And when The manure hits the fan, you call me. The moment you start to recognize that the essence of you is a spirit and you start to communicate and thank it, ask it what you want and let go of it, it can rearrange this universe for you. I mean, I look at guys today like, you know, Chris Angel and Dynamo, and I watch them. They're changing reality instantly.
So are you saying that when people call in angels, guides, and extraterrestrials and the rest of it, they're opening to another's game, that is, it's an invitation to, or an opening of the door, and that in essence we align with our own essence or spirit, and that's where the real power is. Is that what you're saying?
The key is within. It's not without.
Yeah.
Either go within or else you go without. Now, within is your spirit. Your spirit can rearrange this universe, and it can deliver anything you want. It can manifest anything you want. We have forgotten. You know, when I was a young bloke growing up, at 4 years old, my mother sat me down and wanted to know how I knew these things were happening. And I looked at her and thought, well, doesn't everybody remember the past? She said, no. And as I grew up, she said one thing. She said, if you want anything in life, she said, don't expect it off anybody. She said, you have to learn to manifest. She knew what manifesting was because she came from the old culture. And in my life, I've learned to manifest, put out what I want, let go of it. And it just falls into place. We have forgotten, most of us have forgotten, and we're letting our soul run us, which is the program we've taken on externally. It wants to run the vehicle good and proper because it wants to take over the vehicle. Now, the moment we call something in external to internal, we disempower our spirit. And we give power to something outside of our reality. Mm. We're now in its game.
Mm-hmm. And subject to the rules and laws of the game.
That's correct. Yeah. And whatever game it is we enter into, it can be very subtle also. You see, the key is within you. It is your spirit. This is what these other beings are petrified of. They're petrified because man's spirit is very, very powerful. And when you align yourself with your spirit, it's pure energy. And it can do some really interesting magic when you align yourself with your spirit.
Hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that's done and how you do that and what, you know, what are some of the things that you can experience?
Well, the thing is, this is it. It's not about how you do it, because really, it's aligning you with your spirit, and you and your spirit virtually are integrating together, and it'll take care of you. You know, I had a really interesting episode. I've had a few interesting episodes, but one particular episode, I remember I was walking through the mall in Brisbane, and I spotted a guy about 200 feet away walking up towards me, and I spotted this massive entity in the guy. I mean, you can see in his features. I thought, whoa, look at the entity in this guy. And the entity he spotted, I spotted it. I'm walking straight, not deterring, and I see the entity looking at me. It's spotted. It's wrapped its bag around its hand and it swings the bag back and comes up and it swings its bag at me. I'm walking straight. I'm not deterring. I have no fear whatsoever. And I just shake my head. I think, you have no idea what you're dealing with. Next minute, the bag stops in midair. He's picked up and thrown 15 foot across the footpath on his rear end. I just shake my head and said, you have no idea what you're dealing with. You know, your spirit will take care of you.
Yeah,
your spirit is purely simply a powerful being that's on a journey, and the moment it can integrate with you, it'll take care of you with pure energy.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
We also have an interesting thing I've noticed, and that is I've worked with a number of people that are drowned and been resuscitated. And what I found is every single one of them, when they were drowned, resuscitated, they had walkings. When they drowned, they stepped out of body, it was vacant possession. And other things in the area jumped straight back in. And when they resuscitated, they had other things in the body with them as well. I've had people who've gone to hospital and they've been under anaesthetic. And when we go to find out where the invaders came from, 7 years old, and having the appendix removed, and this thing in the hospital jumped in. Whole range of things that you just don't think of that's going out there metaphysically in our world.
Some people talk about walk-ins where it seems that the whole essence of the person literally leaves and something else comes in. Do you have an explanation for that one?
Sure. I've worked on dozens of people that have come to me and classified with all these different labels. And what happened is it's really interesting because we go back as a young child. I send them back as a young child. They're back there reliving it. And it might be in the first, they've just been born in that first year. And they're born to very violent parents or alcoholic parents or drug addicts. Oh, I don't want to be here. That becomes an invitation. So what they do is they actually create an altered reality. They now move into the altered reality, which becomes a safe zone for them. They can create any of that reality they want, but they don't want this reality. And because they don't want to be in this reality, that now allows a walk-in or something else into that dimension to take over this dimension. Now, sometimes we've had multiples of things in the dimension because it's vacant possession. Nobody wants this dimension, but other beings out there want this dimension. So they come in. It's sharing the body, but they're in the safe zone they've created. What we're going to do is go back in time with them, and we go back to the violent parents and how they felt. Then we send them back in time to why they had to come into that vehicle so they can understand why they needed those parents, what they did to set this up. Then we can bring them back in. Then we can clear the dimension that they belong to, put them back in this dimension, and clear out the invaders out of that dimension. Back on track again.
Huh. So it really becomes vital to watch your thoughts and to not allow those kinds of thoughts to take you over.
Yeah, it's your thoughts are one thing that can do it, but it's not just the thoughts. So your thoughts are creating your own internal created realities and entities in there that are trying to take over. But apart from that is you've got to look at what you did way back in time. You know, way back in time, you may have harmed somebody. Well, what happens is you can actually have a spirit that you killed years ago, hundreds of years ago, in there with you, and it's triggered. When he comes through, he can be living your traits through you, and you don't know. All you know is, I don't know why I want to do this. I don't know why this is taking place because it's so subtle, the manipulation of the vehicle that's taking place. And when we go back, we find out what's in there and we take him out. Sometimes we go back in time and you may have been very violent to somebody and you've got to learn. The universe says, well, hang on, how will you know what it's like to be violent, what they experience, unless you experience it? So therefore you go back in the body. And now you're born to these parents and you don't like it. So now you become the victim or you create the altered reality. Some will become victim after victim after victim because they've still never looked at it. And the universe doesn't care. It says, look, if you want to hang on to this for a million years, that's fine. If you want to hang on for 1 second, that's fine. But you must understand what you created. For only then can we change that creation because your creation is affecting everything else. If you want to go out to war and you want to mutilate and kill, the universe says, well, that's fine, but you must experience what it's like to be mutilated and killed. Only then will you understand what you created for the rest of this universe.
Right.
It's a total balance. I mean, I had one woman come to me, she said, look at this, and she pulled the top down, and she'd been stabbed 14 times. I said, what do you do to deserve that? I didn't do a thing, I was a victim. I had a bit of a chuckle, so I said, look, hop on the table. I said, you mind if I take you back in time and show you what happened? She said, no, all right, good. The spirit took us straight back. 20-year-old male, thank you, what happened? I just stabbed the dirty, filthy prostitute to death, the dirty bitch. Thank you. Who told you she was a dirty bitch? The church. Thank you. Spirit, step out of the body. Recognize the person you stabbed in the past. Got me, yes. Come back in present day, spirit. Step out of the body. Recognize the person that stabbed you in present day. Oh, my God, it's the same. Thank you. Have you learned your lesson yet? Do you understand? You can't escape the cycles of time.
Right. Eventually, it all has to come out.
That's correct. For you to move and evolve, you've got to understand the creations of negativity you've created. Mm-hmm. And this is where you hit. And this is interesting because what I find out there today is that these secret societies, they're used in occultism. But the universe has an equal opposite. Occultism, when you call in dark force and you're using them. But the equal opposite to occult is law, L-O-R-E, the laws of law. And it's like they're using negative electrons to create these realities. But when you take a positive electron, thus law, and you find the dimension, hit this dimension with it, it creates a positron, and it sends this dimension of negativity out of this dimension to the past, where it no longer affects the future cycles. You've really got to understand that we are multidimensional. And it's in that multidimensional, you know, I had a young woman come to me, and she's self-harming herself. And we're going to look at the self-harm. And it goes back to India. What's happening? I've just given birth to a little girl. Thank you. What's happened? Little girls are useless. Thank you. What happened? My husband's annoyed because I gave birth to a girl and not a boy. Thank you. What's happening? He's stabbing me to death. Thank you. I admit I should have given birth to a boy, not a girl, but I can't forgive myself because I know he's going to kill her too. She is still stuck in that trauma of time, punishing herself for not saving her daughter. Till we went back in time, we changed it and cleared it. And instantly, the self-mutilation stopped. Everything's dimensions. What dimension are people stuck in? We have to go back and find the dimension, fold time and space in that dimension. You never leave a void in time and space. Huh. If you leave a void in time and space, something will fill the void. It's so important that we change the dimension, replace the dimension for the future cycle the way we'd like it to be in the positive.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And so you're able to do that.
Oh, yes. Look, no problem at all. I mean, that's the beauty. I teach the students how to unfold time and space, how to make changes in these dimensions. And some of them, look, we've had ladies. I had a lady come to me in the 60s, and she broke down crying her eyes out. I said, what's going on? She said, I'm petrified I might harm my grandchildren. I said, why is that? She said, when my children were 3 months old, every time I went past the fireplace, I had the urge to throw them into a fire. And I had to struggle myself to stop myself from throwing them in the fire. Okay, bit of a problem, get on the table. It took her straight back to a past life in the Inquisition. They burned her to the stake and they strapped a three-month-old child to her chest. And all she can think of is throwing the child in the fire so it won't suffer. Last memory of death. She's stuck in that moment of time. Two infold time and place and cleared it. And that cleared that dimension. So whatever trauma you're stuck in, the dimension hasn't completed. So it becomes suspended in animation. Once it's suspended there, it could be there for thousands of years. All it needs is a trigger, and that dimension overrides in present day. Now it continues on its journey with your trauma. You know, I've had guys out there, there are people out there that go to the doctor and say, I want my leg removed. I want my arm removed. Can't stand it. I can't stand it. And some will even go on the train track and lay there and put their leg on the train track for the train to run over it because they can't stand having their leg there. I worked with one guy that had this going, and it went straight back to the Civil War. A cannon had just blown off his leg. And before death, he's in so much agony, he just wants his leg removed. Last memory of death. He's still stuck in that trauma. Till it comes through in present day and sets it up again. He wants his leg removed because they've been cleared.
Now, I'm kind of curious to find out if you have had people, if you're familiar with the near-death experience, and what do you feel that experience is as it relates to your work?
Okay. Now, there's a few facets here with this one. You know, we have people that have near-death experiences, and what takes place, and this is really, I was talking to a heart surgeon, and the heart surgeon was telling me that he said, when we operate on people on the heart, he said, a lot of them die on the table and they come back. And they tell me they saw a bright light, some saw angels, some saw God, some saw, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, I've had five people have heart transplants, and I bring the spirit owners a heart through and have a talking out of them. But what we did was when we were in Spain, we had an Egyptian mummy that was being travelling around as a show thing, and we walked up and put our hands on the glass, and we surrogate the spirit of the mummy in, went back, and then we surrogate into someone on the table. And I called through the spirit of the mummy and wanted to know, what are you doing in your dimension? And the spirit of the mummy says, I rule. I said, who do you rule? I rule the slaves and the servants that have died and come through with me. What else do you do? I move in and out of dimensions. Thank you. Now, when I looked and heard the heart surgeon talking, look at all the cases I've had, and I looked at the mummy, it clicked together. I realized that whatever your intent is before death, that's what you're going to create. If your intent is that my slaves and servants are going to die with me, the next life, he's living that dimension he's locked in, slaves and servants have died with him to come through. If your intent on the table is you're going to see you're going to see Jesus. If your intent is you're going to see the light. Whatever your intent is, that's what's going to be set into play. Mm-hmm. That's so why there's so many variables of people experiencing different variables.
Yep. So you have to really be careful about what your intentions are. And that would also explain why the suicide, some of the the people in other countries are creating the idea that when they cross over, they have endless virgins and so on and so forth. So basically, they're creating a reality. And then their suicide or their death is their entrance into that reality.
That's the temporary reality they're moving into temporarily. But reality is, you can't escape the cycles of time. Whatever you've done to another, you're going to have to come back in the physical world of reality into a vehicle to experience upon yourself what you've done to another. That you cannot escape.
All of the things that people have done to get to that place, they may be suspended in an alternate reality for what to us may be, hundreds of thousands or trillions of years. But eventually something will trigger that so that they have to experience what they dished out, basically. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, and rarely is it hundreds of thousands of years. Look, we have found cases, it's been really interesting. Years ago in my early research, I had a woman, and we went back in time, and she was married to a farmer on a big farm. They named the farm. It was a very big cattle farm. They named the farm. And we went to her death. We brought her back in. And what happened is that she'd been born within 6 months of dying. So her husband today was still alive back there.
Wow.
And, we're going to go out there and just see what she knew and felt in the field. And about a year later, 2 years later, there was a show on TV. And it was this property, the farm, exactly what she said, the name of it and all. There was a documentary on it where she'd come from.
Interesting.
So just as she came back, good. But it's like I find there's no time, and I mean by no time, some people choose to come back and make changes in this lifetime. Others may have a period of time where they'll stay longer before they come back. But in the big cycle of time, the big cycle, birth, death, cycles of time, you can't escape it. Whatever you've done, you've got to come back to bring in a balance. You'll never get out of the game. You keep coming back Groundhog Day until you do. And the universe couldn't care less. It couldn't care less. Whether it's 1 second or it's a million years, it doesn't matter. But the thing is, you've got to experience your own experiences. Unless there comes a time where you yourself are genuinely remorseful for that, you spot it, you understand, and you thank spirit, I don't need that anymore, thank you very much, and you're genuinely remorseful for it. Then the universe says, okay, fine, it'll loop it, put you outside time. But if you try to hoodwink the universe, that's another thing. I can guarantee you get more than you bargain for.
Well, it seems like a lot of these entities and the larger beings are trying to hoodwink the universe.
Yes, but see, remember, you've got to look at this, and I say, if they're dimension, we go back in time to Nimbura, let's just say, and it's a 3,600-year cycle, and we're accelerating 3,600 times faster than which we are. And if the old biblical part talks of the gods were jealous and they went through all the emotions of mankind, so it tells me that they're really on a lower level still. It's just that they have the ability to manipulate this dimension. But eventually, they must experience what they've done upon themselves in their own dimension. Now, we're also finding that they're in a control dimension. It's really interesting. We're finding these beings are controlled by a hierarchy as well up the structure.
Wow.
And a lot of those beings want to be freed.
Yep.
Yeah, so, again, when we do this, we free all the beings on all the levels, all the dimensions, so not manipulated and controlled again.
Right. Does that happen? Is that perfect? Is that synchronized, do you think, all the corrections that are made on these various levels in other dimensions?
Well, I really, it's hard to say. It's like I understand, and we've got the hierarchy level of structure at the top, and it's really interesting because when we get the guy at the top, and I'm talking about, we've done this all around the world, and they don't know each other, but when we get the top level, what gives you the rights to control those beneath you? And they all say exactly the same thing. We have the born rights. And when I go in to find the born rights, a lot of times it's the hierarchy of the family line, the rituals that they go into, and their children are virtually donated to them, which means the vehicle, like they've got the born rights to that vehicle. So when the spirit comes in, they'll traumatize the spirit. So they take out the vehicle. They may then use drugs just to keep the trauma going on that particular being. As I said, one of the things is nothing set in concrete because there are so many variables, and I've never found two cases the same.
Wow.
Every case is unique and different in its creation.
What's one of the cases that was the most surprising when it emerged for you?
Oh, a little girl in New Zealand, and a mother bought it. She was only about 3 or 4 years old, and she's little body's all twisted up. She got tubes sticking out of her tummy, and they're feeding her through tubes. She's never spoken, and she's never eaten. And the mother says, "Can you help me?" And I looked at the daughter, and I thought, I've got no idea. So I just said, "Look, I have no idea what's going to take place, but nothing ventured, nothing gained on the table." And I saw the little girl and the mother. And I sent her back in time, did some stuff, worked on it. I put spirit back in her. 2 days later, the mother's rang me. She said, "Look, the special school has noticed changes. I've noticed changes, and the osteopath's noticed changes. Can I get another session before you leave New Zealand?" And my spirit instantly said, "Bring in the father." So I then just said, "Bring in the father." I don't question it. You know, it knows what we're doing. So I brought in the father, and the first thing I said, I saw the little girl and the father. And through the father, I said, "I want to know why the soul of the vehicle had the throat chest problems." It went back to the great-great-grandfather tuberculosis on the father's side. So I looped up that dimension and changed the dimension. Then I went in, "Spirit, why did you come in the vehicle that couldn't communicate? 20-year-old female, thank you. And what's happened?" "I've just done my grandfather in the throat. Thank you. What for?" "Because he raped me and sexually abused me. They won't stop it. That time we had reciprocal exchange of energy. That time we had the spirit of the grandfather in there and he couldn't talk." So I had to send him back in time. I had to go back in time what she did, change what he did, change what she did, then release the spirit of the grandfather, then release her and put her back in the body. And 2 days later, she's speaking and eating for the first time. I went back about a little over a year later, and the little girl's body's not twisted up anymore. It's back to normal. And she's doing really great. And she had problems chewing. So I went to look at that. It took another past life where she's a slave. And they hit on the side of the wall, hung a wood and broke the jaw. The trauma was from the jaw. So I went and took the trauma out of the jaw, and they'll rectify that issue. That's just one. I mean, I had another one, an Aboriginal girl come to me, and I was at the 10 Embassy there, and she came up, she's on drugs. "Can you help me? Can you help me?" And I just said, "Look into my eyes." I said, "Look into my eyes," locked onto the spirit, hit on the shoulder, and I said, "Spirit, send her into the cause effect of why she is the way she is." Next minute, she's curled up on the ground in a little fetal position. And I said, "Little spirit, what's taking place? How old are you?" "I'm 2 months inside my mummy's tummy. Thank you, little spirit." "And what's happening?" "Daddy punched mummy in the tummy. Daddy punched mummy in the tummy." "And how to make you feel?" "Little, they don't want me." That's why she's on drugs. I blew the dimension, looped the dimension. So I hit all the drugs at 180 degrees, blew them out of the system. She'll be right from that day on. Whoa. There's some things we can do. Yeah, look, it's just, it's mind-blowing some of the cases we get. You know, some of the people I've been, I had one young girl and her mother works for Queensland Health. She's been throwing epileptic fits for 2.5 hours, every 2.5 hours for 6 months. She's seen a counsellor, a psychiatrist, psychologist, neurologist, and neurosurgeon. The neurologist says, "Look, we can't physically find anything wrong with her." And somewhere along the grapevine, he then said, "Look, it could be metaphysical." And they got it to me. One session. She's been in school for 1.5 years without a fit. I found an entity that had come through trying to jump her. I took the entity out. She's been right ever since. What did that cost the system compared to what it cost me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they could save millions of dollars if they were to listen and to start to understand these areas.
Well, of course, follow the money, right?
Well, that's it. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, of course, they're backing a lot of these programs in the universities and the agendas of the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those fellows behind that, they can't escape the cycles of time. They're going to come back in the future, and they're going to experience their own medication on themselves. You watch.
There you go.
You can't escape it. Yeah, you've really got to look at you got to see how this universe works. This universe is brilliant. It really is. It's brilliant and knows how to create law.
Wonderful. Well, you know, Steve, we're just about at the end of the second hour, so this seems like a good time to thank you again for staying on for another hour and sharing these incredible stories with us. And before we go out, sign off of the second hour, if you would once again mention your website, because people are going to be wanting to find out more about your work and reading up on the stories and watching your videos. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Yeah, it's www.holographickinetics.com. There's also 14 videos in there that you can see. And there's 90 pages of information of some of the case studies. And also we're doing future seminars in America, Canada, UK, and up in Europe. If anybody wants to contact me, I'll put them on the list. Let them know when we're coming over, and we'll be teaching how to handle this. So I hope you've all enjoyed this, and I hope you look at the site.
Wonderful. Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming on today. You were absolutely incredible, and I'm just really thankful that you shared so much with us today.
Glad to. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Good night, Steve, and good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.